Thank you very much for having me here with you. Amen. Yes, true indeed. We have done quite a number of things together, and I'm excited of what the Lord is doing. One of the things that we addressed when you came was concerns the economy of the country, and those of you who are following events, you understand right now in Zimbabwe there is a major shaking up with the revelations that Al Jazeera has made concerning how dirty money is being washed in Zimbabwe and taken, you know, as gold and precious minerals. And everyone there involved has been exposed as we speak. So God is shaking things in Zimbabwe in a big way. And we are excited because what the church can do is to shift things in the spirit. And then we begin to see a manifestation. And ever since you left Zimbabwe, there is a lot of things that the Lord is shaking up, and, you know, and we are excited about that. So we looking forward to a great move of God. You know, we have been praying and desiring and asking the Lord as to what we can do to usher in the move of God in a nation, in a city. The world wants to see God at work. We need an awakening. We need to see God move. And our hearts are looking up to God and saying, what is it that we have to do? We are praying all we can. We are expectant. We are believing. But I have some few, I don't know whether to call them thoughts, but derived from the Word of God. Okay, you will forgive me because I'm a bit from the hassles on the way with our corrupt systems, where the police are after money at every turn, and they want to squeeze money out from everyone else. So I was looking at how the early church managed to bring in a move of God. You know, as early as chapter 1, chapter 2, you begin to discover that people were turning to the Lord Jesus Christ in their thousands. The first report we hear is 3,000 souls gave their lives to Jesus. They were added to the church. How is that possible? Okay. So I was looking at these men and women. If we read in Acts chapter number 1, the Bible says these guys, they were just but a few. The disciples of Jesus and some women, which were about 120. Listen to me. They didn't have theology. Okay? These guys didn't have theology. These guys didn't even have the Bible canonized. They were not carrying Bibles. The Bible says when they brought them to ask them, to question them, to interrogate them, they say, discovered that these men were not from the schools of their time. They were not educated theologically. They were not, you know, like the Pharisees and the scribes and all those guys that were handling the word at that time. These guys belonged to no school of note. But the only thing that they realized was these guys had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. So how can simple, ordinary men and women with no education, with no theological education, begin to turn the whole world upside down? So we are saying, number one, these guys, they have been with Jesus. If I can ask you, have you ever had an experience with Jesus? I've discovered that most of the problems we are having in the Christian walk today is with people that don't have an experience with Jesus. Because an experience with Jesus changes you completely. You change if you meet up with the Lord. Look at Paul when he is still called Saul of Tarsus. He is going around arresting the Christians, making sure they are beaten up, making sure that they are, you know, they are persecuted. When he got saved, he was on his way to Damascus. When guys like Stephen were killed, Paul was there. He was handling the jackets of the men who were stoning Stephen to death. He believed in what he was doing. And he argues and he says, when I did it, I thought I was doing it for God. You know, you can be in the house of God and begin to do stuff and you think you are doing stuff for God. And yet you are miles away from the purpose of God. So these guys, they had an experience. Like Paul, as he is on his way, the Lord Jesus visits him, and lightning struck him, and he fell down. And whilst he's down, Jesus begins to speak to him. And thank God, because when he's down, he says, Lord, what will you have me do? The experience with Jesus can cause you to ask, what will you have me do? Not what you want to do for him. Those are two different things. You may have what you think the Lord wants you to do, but it's different from what the Lord really wants you to do. He was persecuting Christians thinking that he was doing the Lord a favor. But when the Lord met up with him, he changed. That which he was persecuting, he became a master of it. So an experience with Jesus is very necessary. These guys had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. And when we talk like this to guys here in Africa and in the West, it's history. But let's go to the persecuted churches. Guys are meeting the Lord Jesus Christ in their dreams, in their visions, in all that. Because all their life they've been taught that there is no God but Allah. And they are believing that Allah is God. And they are believing in his servant Muhammad. And they have no idea who Jesus is. But then Jesus visits them at night and begins to talk to them and shakes all their belief system. And they are changed instantly and they become sons of God. Hey, Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead. He is living. And he is moving amongst his people. I remember it's now about 32 years ago. We had just started a work for God, and we were doing things in our strength, putting in everything and getting frustrated because you put everything in and you get little results. You put everything in and you get little results. And I took my friend and he said to him, we are going up that mountain and we are going to be in a cave and pray. If Jesus doesn't meet us there, then we are not coming down. We went there the first day. We are praying and praying, and it's like the heaven is barren. There is no response. Second day, on the third day, when we were almost giving up, then all of a sudden there was like a wind in that place. A very strange, strong wind, and it blew up. It blew in that place. I remember I just checked my watch, and it was 7 p.m. in the evening. And we went into this experience when the Lord literally took over of everything, our spirit, our soul, and our bodies. I'm not saying he has to deal with you like that, but when he touches you, when he visits you, you will definitely know that he has had an encounter. I'm just sharing some experience. When the cloud lifted, when this happened, it was like 5 minutes. But when I checked my time, after all this, it was 4 a.m. in the morning. From 7 p.m. to 4 p.m., 4 a.m., the Lord was busy with us, dealing with us intensely. Early Sunday morning, we left the mountain and went to church. The whole place we were meeting up was packed with people. Who had brought the people about? It's the Lord. How did it happen? I don't know. How did all these people decide to come to the place of? The moment we walked into the place where the church was meeting, the Lord started moving in the church, touching the people like he had touched us in the mountain. You cannot give people what you don't have. We were able to minister from the fullness of what he had given us. So, what am I saying? I'm saying these guys, what they had was an experience with Jesus. And I'm convinced tonight I'm talking to the right people. You are here because you need to see God move in Polokwane, in South Africa, in Africa, and the rest of the world. Amen. Are we together, people of God? Let's read Acts chapter number 1, verses 13 to 14. I just spoke about the need for us to have the Jesus experience. We have an experience with Jesus. If we are going to usher in the move of God in the land, number one, we must have an experience with Jesus. Let's look at these guys in Acts chapter number 1, verse 18 and 14. Right, the Bible says, verse 12, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mountain called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room, where they were staying Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the sons of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Just a handful. Okay. I think I've got a very big issue there. This scripture bothers my heart a big deal. Okay? The Bible says these guys continued in one accord in prayer, supplication. They continued in one accord in prayer, supplication. What supplication? What is it that they were doing which is called supplication? All committed. Committed to one another and to the Lord. Okay, prayer, supplication. What is the supplicate? How are we going to do that if we don't know what it is? Yes. When you ask with your whole heart, we are getting close to it. Begging? You are too quiet. If you talk, then I'm... expectantly. Yes. So, what is it with our prayers? We are praying. Why is it that our prayers are not bringing in the move of God? Why? In Afrikaans, what do they say? This word, supplicate. To ask, expecting something to come. A story is told of a church that was praying. There was a drought. Okay? And they were praying for the rains to come. And strangely, this Sunday morning, they were surprised to see an old lady bring an umbrella to church. And it looked like it's not going to rain at all. But anyway, she brought the umbrella to church. Why? She was expecting some rains to come. Most of our actions are not correlating with our prayers. There is no expectation, enough expectation in our prayers. I remember the other time I went to a rural area in Matabeleland South in Zimbabwe, and I was preaching there. I preached for 3 days. And in the congregation, a woman had come who had been married for 13 years and she was barren. And then during the time of prayer, when we prayed for her, we prayed, you know, there's some people who look like they have got a pseudo pregnancy. This was what she was like. But when we prayed, that was the very first night we got there, this whole thing subsided. And she was wet all over. She messed the floor, actually. Then, on the third day, I was preaching and I was supposed to get the bus that comes and goes from that place, leaves at 12 midnight. At quarter to 12 midnight, as I was saying my last prayer so that I can go and catch the bus by the road, she grabbed me and she says, "Pastor, what name must I give to my child?" What name must I give to my child? Then I just turned and I said, "Amos, call him Amos." She prayed and expected a miracle. Our actions are not correlating with our prayers. These guys were in one accord. Don't tell me stories. We had characters in that team. Remember, the doubting Thomases were part of the crowd. Thomas was there. The impetuous Peter was there. Mary Magdalene, the woman who had been delivered of 7 devils, was part of the crowd. And you don't tell me these people all agreed in the way they looked at issues. It's very impossible. It's not possible. But how did they come to a place of becoming in one accord? By submitting to the Holy Spirit. Yes? But is that easy? Huh? Because Holy Spirit and us, we are different. Let me tell you, it's not easy to follow Holy Spirit speaking. I can tell you, it's not easy. I can tell you, it's not easy. This one time I'm invited to attend a service, not to preach, and I go to the stage and we are there. I'm worshiping the Lord, and Holy Spirit says, "You see that lady?" And I said, "Yes." And he says, "She has a growth. You must pray for her. I want to heal her." How am I going to pray for her? I'm a visitor. I'm not even ministering in the church. How do I get through praying for her? And I said, but the Holy Spirit, talk to the guy who is praying. How do I get to doing that? You talk to the guy who is preaching. It's easy for him to do that. And Holy Spirit told me, for 5 years this man has stopped listening to his voice. And then I said, but why me? Then he says, I can trust you to do it. In fact, I'm seeing no way I can do it. It's not easy. Somebody is preaching, you are seated there, and Holy Spirit is showing you somebody, and you, how are you going to do it? Huh? With the way we do church, which is very formal. You know, we it's like we know everything that happens in the service before we come. We know everything. So who's leading? Is that Holy Spirit or us leading? If you want to see how this thing is complicated, go and read Acts chapter 16. Paul is saying, we purpose to go in this direction, and the Holy Spirit says no. We purpose to do this, and the Holy Spirit says no. We purpose to do this, and the Holy Spirit says no. Is that what's happening in our midst? How can we come to a place of one accord? This is why your answer is very important to this. We have to be obedient to the voice, to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Remember, these are simple guys with no theological education. But God is about to use them. If you read the Bible, it says, in the first instance, they say, when 3,000 souls were added, these guys were saying, So, what's happening? Where is this thing going to end? And the next thing, they are saying, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. And thereafter, they are saying, those that have turned the world upside down have come here to us. So, it's not easy. How can we work with the Spirit of God? Listen to me, it's not about one other big preacher coming to town. We have had all these things where big names are coming to our nations and they leave and the nation is still the same. Why? Because none of us is willing to pay the price of listening to the Holy Spirit. And we come to a place where we are in one accord. Everyone has their way, and it's always my way is the highway. I see this everywhere you go, and this is stopping the move of God. I want to tell you, these guys, the Bible says they continued. A in the upper room, in one accord, praying, supplicating. And I like that. Holy Spirit mentioned them, and he says there were also some women who were praying and waiting, and their names are listed as well. Don't you want your name to be listed when people are talking of how the move of God hit house of prayer, house of ministry in Polokwane? Are we ready to pay the price? One accord. Okay? Let's read another scripture here. I want to show you something as well. It's still about this one accord in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Right, verse 41. Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and in that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. I've discovered we cannot operate in one accord if we are not having this thing called fellowship. Hello? Fellowship. They continually devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles, to fellowship. Everybody says to fellowship. What is fellowship? To do things together, like what? Huh? To build each other up? Hmm? Encouraging. Where does this thing happen? Where do we fellowship? Exactly, in church. But these ones were not fellowshipping in church. We think when we come, you know, people ask the question, where do you fellowship? They are talking to the place where the church meets. But these ones were fellowshipping from house to house, breaking bread and having fellowship. 3 years you are in this church and you don't know where somebody stays. Hello? And we wonder why God is not moving. Relationship. Fellowship builds up relationships. And the Bible teaches in Matthew chapter number 5, verse 24, that relationship goes before service. If you want to go and give an offering, and then you remember you have an issue with your brother, that is Matthew chapter 5, verse 24. You have an issue with your brother, he says, leave your offering there, go and reconcile, and then come and give your offering. Stop giving service with messed up relationships. You are doing nothing. And there is no fellowship in the house of God. There is no fellowship. Huh? I remember in one place where I used to go and preach in Maritzburg, those guys would only have braai when I'm there. That's when everybody comes for braai. Because pastor is here, I mustn't be the reason for fellowship. Fellowship must happen always. Because those guys were having it from house to house. But not with us. I don't know what has happened to us. Honestly, I don't know what is it that has happened to us. All of a sudden, our houses are private properties, and if you trespass, you will be prosecuted. I'm telling you, this is the truth. You have to forgive me because I come from the hinterland of Africa. When we get to some of these rural places, we have been with him in Mozambique. It doesn't matter how the place looks, but they still give you a seat. You have to sit. And they want to give you food. And they want you to feel at home. And I know we do all these things. But what is happening when we are all by ourselves and there is no visiting minister? Is it a one thing in a year? And then we wonder why God is not showing up in our midst. Because the Bible says, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen, and you fail to love your brother whom you see? And then we think we can bring in the move of God by bringing an anointed preacher. Yet God does want to see us in one accord. God wants to see us fellowshipping. God wants us to see us praying together. God wants to see us visiting and having time together. And I want to tell you, I've discovered, none of us has got it all. I depend on what he inputs into my spirit, and he depends on what I input into his spirit. Apostle Paul says, I wanted God to come to you so that I can impart some spiritual gifts to you. And he says, and that our mutual faith, faith from you and faith from me. There is something that you are contributing. There is something that I am contributing. Even as you are seated there. You are ministering to me. And I am ministering to you. Because the Bible says we are the body of Jesus Christ. And every member of us supplies something. So if we are not having fellowship, it means we are lacking somehow. My legs do not want to come to Polokwane, but my eyes want to see what's happening in Polokwane. What will happen? If I didn't take the first step to leave my house, I could not have been here tonight. Everything about me had to work towards that one goal of being here. everything about us has to work towards that one goal. What was their goal? To glorify Jesus. I remember I've got some friends, six friends, that I was fellowshipping with. We would go to a meeting and we don't know who is going to preach there. We just go there and we are beginning to worship and to praise God. And you can only talk there if God has put a word in you. And whoever God is using, then every one of us is excited. And we are praying and we are saying, yes, God is speaking in our meeting. Is Holy Spirit really in full control of what we are doing, or we are? We have figured it all, how God works. Really? Is that real? Do we all really know how God works? Check it out in the Bible. God has got surprises for us. Huh? Remember, thank you very much. Paul, sorry, Peter. Peter is a Hebrew guy. And Hebrews do not associate with Gentiles. The Jews don't associate with Gentiles. The Jews don't. And here is Peter. God has to deal with him. God has to deal with all his prejudices. He has to deal with this guy. So what he does, he makes him sleep and he has a dream. I like dreams because in the dream, God is in full control. Your thought processes are not kicking in. Huh? Yeah, when you are dreaming, then your thought processes are not kicking in. God is just showing you events and they have nothing to contribute. So in this dream, he's seeing all these unholy animals, and God says, take it. And he says, no, I haven't eaten anything unholy. And God says, you know, that which the Lord has sanctified, you mustn't call unholy. And God deals with all his prejudice in that dream. And as he wakes up, there are some people who have come, that have come from Cornelius. They are saying you must go to a hidden man's house. And when he gets there, before he finishes his sermon, Holy Spirit falls on all that are in the house. And they are beginning to speak in tongues like he had done. I pray that God will mess up with our theology and all our traditions and our protocols and systems. That is the move that God is bringing in the world. I'm telling you, I've seen this coming. I've seen it coming. I've watched, and God is telling me it is going to come when nobody is going to claim responsibility. I've watched and I've seen it coming when God is happening. Like Peter there. He is trying to preach his sermon, but Holy Spirit is busy with his people. And they are speaking in tongues and all these other things. Have you ever come to a meeting like that? You think you have got your everything well laid out and planned, and you want to see things happening as you want, and God happens. God just happens and he begins to do his business. And the only thing that Peter had to do was to say, okay, let's bring some water and baptize these people, since they have already received what we have all received. Are you listening to me? So what was Peter simply doing? He was following the Spirit of God. Not what he had believed all his life. Not what his religion had taught him all his life. So at the end of the day, this is how God is going to come in our midst. I remember in a place in Blue Way when we were having church. Have you ever seen somebody who comes to church and bothers you for prayer every day? This person needs to be prayed for. Okay? And you are praying and it seems nothing is happening. And this person keeps coming and bothers you to say, please pray for me. Okay? And everybody starts knowing this person that this is what is happening. And then one of these days, this guy, because everybody seems to be, you know, disturbed by him, he lands up in children's church. And when he's in children's church, the kids start praying for him. And boom, the miracle happens there. And here are the kids coming with this guy, and this guy is in his senses, and he's healed, and he's... You can't preach a sermon there. You have to watch and see what God has done. And the kids are coming, and this guy, and Holy Spirit takes over, and the children are beginning to prophesy in the church, and going after each, everyone in the church. And God has taken over. And you want to tell them, kids, to sit down. Can you do that? When there is a tangible miracle that God has done through them. You let them be. So, fellowship. Are we ready for fellowship? We all want to see these things happening, but we don't want to pay the price. They had a Jesus experience. They were in one accord. They were fellowshipping. And the Bible says they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine is one important factor there. Doctrine is key. What are we believing in? One of the biggest problems of the church in Africa is we are taking it from everywhere. Especially in sub-Saharan Africa. We see what they are doing in the West and we want to do it. We see what they are doing in West Africa, we want to do it the way they are doing it. Today there is a big problem in Zimbabwe because one of the guys in the Al Jazeera scandal is one of the famous prophets in Zimbabwe. Whom the president of our nation had appointed an ambassador. And we wondered where this was coming from. Until now. That he's using his contacts, you know, wherever he was preaching, to get people who come and buy gold from Zimbabwe. And And I'm not talking of a very small somebody in the body of Jesus Christ. This is the guy who came with the doctrine of miracle money. Where you are seated in the service and then he says miracle money and money started popping up in your bank account. And messages are coming on people's phones. He came to Coppers Van Rensburg here in South Africa. And guys who had dead machines at home, these machines were operating. With nobody there. And he would tell you, you have your fridge that malfunctioned. It had problems 3 years ago. But go home right now. You'll find it working. Miracle money, and he was preaching it from the Bible, and he was saying Jesus sent Peter to go and catch a fish, and this fish had money in its mouth. So what's the problem if there is miracle money here? And things are happening. He had the doctrine of miracle weight loss. He just comes into the church and guys who were, you know, were big, all of a sudden they lose their weight. And he taught a lot of doctrine in the church. And what are we following? Today we have problems in our churches because people are seeing things, they are seeing stuff everywhere around us. On YouTube, and all this, and all that, and all that. So how can we commit to good doctrine of Christ? Because our lives are being bombarded with all every kind of weird doctrine coming up. And with this is the challenge, because somebody is doing this and it seems to work and we are after it and we lose what the Lord has told us to do. What has God said to us as house of ministry? That is very key. Last year, I said to one of the guys that I work with, look here, you know, we may never know what God does, but go before God. Find out what God is saying for this coming year. And what does he do? Without my knowledge, he calls every leader and he says, let us democratically find out what God is saying. Yes, everybody must bring in their mind, and from their mind then we can find what God is saying. Church is not a democracy, church is theocracy. I'm sorry. That's how it is. It's strange because nowadays we all believe in democracy because we think democracy fixes things. So what happens? It says, no. We have been doing some 21 or 40 days of prayer and fasting. Now we are going to do 10. Okay? And instead of starting on this day, we want to start on that. And these guys come up with something very, that pleases everyone, but doesn't please God. That's the bad thing about running a church democratically. We may please everybody and not please God. So they saw this thing to me and they said, this is what God is saying. I check it out with God and God says, you have nothing to do with that thing. So I said, no, we are not going to go that way. What happened? God calls Moses up the mountain and gives him the Ten Commandments, and he must bring them down as God has given him and give it to the people. It's not subject to elders' debate. And this is the problem. We cannot have a doctrine when everybody is suggesting what has to be done. This is why in the book of Revelation, John is directed to the angel of the church in a place. That's how God visits a house. So doctrine is very key there. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. Hello? Are we together? I just want to read verse 46. You will find out that it continues, it repeats. Okay? In verse 41, it says, then those that, glad to receive the word of God were baptized, and that day, and they continued, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in breaking bread, and prayer. Okay? In verse 46, it again, Holy Spirit highlights it, and it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily. That those are the ingredients of ushering a move of God in our midst. Are we together, people of God? They had a single purpose and went to the temple every day. Can we go? Can we come to church every day? They ate at each other's homes and shared the food with gladness and humble hearts. We want to get what they got, but we don't want to pay what they paid for it. That is the price they paid for it. And the Bible says they kept praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. And every day the Lord was adding to them people who were being saved. Are we ready to pay in? If it's not every day, but then make an effort. that at least in a week you have visited one or two people. You have encouraged them in their homes. Not to go and gossip, but to break bread and have fellowship. That's one thing. When people start visiting, the next thing, there is gossip in the houses. I'm telling you, I know how it happens in Zimbabwe. I don't know yet. What were they doing in the houses? Praising God. What were they doing? Fellowship. What were they doing? Breaking bread. What were they doing? Praying together. Supplicating together. And what was the result? The Lord, every day. Every day. Huh? It looks like dreamland, eh? Yet it's, and every day the Lord was adding to them people who were being saved. Every day. And you think it was easy for them to get there? No, they had to deal with every kind of negativism. They had to deal with every kind of, you know. You know how we are. When we come together, everyone wants to have their idea heard. Their peace of mind must be had. It's not easy. But if we allow Holy Spirit to work in our thinking, last Saturday, my son was wedding in Harare, so everybody knew I was in Harare. So the pastors gathered and they say, let's bring him. And then we gather and say, hey, we just want to find out what the Lord is saying. So I said, okay, and we were praying and we were praying. And then at the end, everybody chatting and saying, this is what I'm sensing God is saying. This is what I'm sensing God. This is what. And then at the end of the day, I'm just quiet there. And then they had to ask me, we knew you were coming, and we really want to get God's mind. What is it that God is saying? And I said, unfortunately, I can't say anything now. Because if I say anything, I'm adding to the confusion. Everybody has said what they think God is saying. So at the end of the day, if I say something, then I'm adding to the confusion. You see, at times it's nice to be quiet and just let things flow and go. And when you open your mouth, you are sure God has spoken. Because we really want to hear the mind and the heart of God concerning our city, our nation, our continent and the whole world. How many are still believing God for a move of God that is going to touch the city of Polokwane? Can we be together this weekend and really press into the heart of God and come to a place? Hello? We are praying and believing God for a move. I want to tell you, I've been praying for that God must bring a move. His move this weekend in this city. Let us be in one accord for that. Let us trust the Father that He can grace us with His presence. I cannot say I've walked with the Lord for many years, but for the humble 40 years or plus that I've walked with God, as I know what it means to minister when God is present and to minister when it's me that is just talking. And I sense in this weekend the Lord wants to grace us with His presence, with a move from His heart. So I believe everyone here, that is what we are believing God for. So tonight I was just sharing some of the key ingredients that had the church, early church, usher in the move of God in their midst. By doing simple things that do not call for anything, that do not demand much. Coming to a place of one accord. Like Matt could, you know, came up with his song, coming to the heart of worship. This is where we want to come to. To the heart of worship, it's not about any of us, but it's all about Him. Hallelujah. It's all about Him. He must be glorified. Let that be the sole purpose in our hearts, that He has to be glorified this weekend as we are worshipping the Lord together. You know, these days it's easy to fellowship. I was talking in some of the WhatsApp groups in the church, and I was saying, these are there to make fellowship easy. But some people are in the groups and they are saying nothing. Somebody says something, they don't even say amen. You don't know what they are thinking. They are not contributing. They are not saying anything. They are just a number in the group. Yes, I'm telling you. We are trying to build an atmosphere of fellowship where maybe we can't be together because of work commitments. But you are at your work. You say something that blesses my heart. I say something that blesses somebody's heart. Like the Bible says, when you come together, when you all come together, somebody has a hymn, somebody has a word of encouragement, and somebody has that. This is what we are trying to build up. But there you are in the WhatsApp group. 3 months he has not spoken, he has never said anything. Huh? Hello? They do so in Zimbabwe, I don't know in Polokwane. Hello? Are we together, people of God? Some, they come to church right on time. When it finishes, they carry their bags, boom, they are gone. To the mall. And they can fellowship with strangers at the mall. But they are running away from those of the household of faith. How can we be at one accord? Man City supporters are in one accord better than you. They want to see their team win so they can gather after church. And they are discussing their players and all that. The Liverpool supporters are in one accord. Only the Jesus people are not in one accord. They come to church and they leave without saying anything to anyone. Without saying nothing to anyone. They are coming, they are serious. Too serious to talk. And they leave. They come the next Sunday and it's the same story. I remember when I was growing up with my mother, we used to go to a Methodist church. So after church, the priest would stand by the door. And you come greet the priest and he stands next to you. Somebody comes and greet, and you next to you. And we form a very big line. And at least they made sure you spoke to everyone. Yes, this is how it was done. And we talk. And you talk, hello, how are you? How is warm? But today we can't do that. But look what's happening. I've seen people committing suicide in church. Because there's no one to talk to. Some are in a deep depression. And yet they are in church. They have no one to talk to. And here we come every Sunday, we want to hear a prophetic word for my life. Some even struggle to speak to God. You are in church, they are not praying. They can't even talk to God. Let us just pray and ask the Lord to visit us this weekend in the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you this evening that we can come together. Father, we just looked into your word. How the early church managed to bring in your move in their midst. And Lord, you were adding daily. We thank you because, Lord, you know this house was built so that people can come and worship you and discover what is it that, oh Father, you have them do with their life. We thank you for the various gifts, talents,
that are in this house. Father, we thank you that you are working in and through our lives, that together we can encourage each other, that together we can fellowship, that together we can be in one accord, and that together we can see you, Father, move in our midst. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us, O Spirit of God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Touch our hearts. Touch our lives. We want to be revived like the two men that were going to Emmaus and they met up with Jesus. When they had given up, and that very same night after Jesus had touched, you had touched their hearts, they went back to Jerusalem, fired up, with hearts ready to do service. Fire our hearts up again. We want to burn with the passion for the things of God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Ritiki masaka ikuta ake teke amasiki yitika abasiki yana. Rikipo saki atakabo sari aita masiki. Ritika masiki endamo osiki atakaka masaka. Riki masiki atukuma etika. Rai etika osiki enere masetike mosaka. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, man.
Well, church, we have been challenged tonight. The one thing that I've realized is that we've got to go into a more uncomplicated easy way. I really feel that the time of competition and the time of striving is gone. We will not invite Holy Spirit to change our lives if we are in competition and if we are striving and we are involved in politics and harmony. So God spoke to us, oh Jesus, we want to give you your way this weekend. You brought your vessel here to talk to us, to open our hearts. We ask your Holy Spirit, come in and change the way we live, the way we see things, the way we judge things. Lord, will you come back and talk to us on fellowship again and again? Will you come and call us up to spend time again and again? Lord, if I know one thing tonight, you expect us to go with you. And Jesus, now. Amen, amen. Invite other people. We see you tomorrow evening. And may God be with all of you. Amen.